We're going to look at the last verses of chapter 6, page 157. If you're using a Bible under the seat in front of you, take that out. Before we partake of communion tonight, we're going to take a look at a famous blessing in the scripture. It's known as the high priestly blessing. It's also known as the Aaronic blessing, since Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, was commanded to proclaim this blessing upon the people. It's a beautiful passage, Numbers chapter 6. Everyone there? We'll start in verse 22. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sweet presence. Lord, and we gather tonight on holy ground because you're here. And Lord, we're amazed time and time again at how good you are. Your love and your grace. To think of the sacrifice you paid that we could become right with you. Use your word in our lives tonight in a powerful way by your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read this beautiful blessing. In verse 22, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Isn't that beautiful? That blessing, God commanded the priest to pronounce that blessing upon the people of Israel regularly, consistently, even daily, every time they got together. There's a lot of blessing in that blessing, isn't there? And question, where does all that blessing come from? What's the source of all that blessing? Well, all that blessing comes from the Lord, doesn't it? The Lord blesses. He's the one who initiates the blessing. He's the one who commands the high priest to pronounce this blessing upon the people. And the personal name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is used three times as the source of blessing. Verse 24, "The Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, bless you." Verse 25, "The Lord make his face shine." Verse 26, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you." It's all from the Lord. And then in verse 27, God promises that once this blessing is proclaimed upon the people of God, he says, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I myself, the Lord, will bless them." All this blessing comes from the Lord. Our God is a God of blessing. All blessing comes from him. How many of you want to be blessed? I think everyone's looking for blessing in life. Everyone wants to have a blessed life. But the only problem is that so many people are looking for blessing in other sources. So many people are looking for blessing through money or wealth or materialism. People will say, "Man, if I just win the lottery, life will be a blessing. If I could just get more money, then my life would be blessed. If I could have a new car, my life would be blessed. Or people say, if only I could get married, then my life would be blessed. They look for blessing in relationship. Or a parent or somebody who wants to be a parent might think, if only I could have children, then my life would be blessed. If only I could have lots of friends, if only I could be popular, then I'd be blessed. You don't find true blessing in that. You find true blessing in God. He's the source. You know, it's kind of tragic when you study the history of Israel, how they forsook the Lord. Israel would enter into alliances with other pagan countries like Egypt and Syria, trying to find blessing and protection. According to the history, the Israelites would join in with the idolatry of the pagans, trying to find blessing from false gods, bowing before idols. And every time they did that, it was a train wreck. When you try to find blessing in other sources, you're dissatisfied. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 2, the Lord said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a powerful image. God says, here I am, the living water, the bubbling fount of living water, here to bless, satisfy. And yet my people, they go out and they dig these holes filled with muddy, putrid water. How sad. And that's how many people are living their lives. They go from pool to pool to pool to pool, trying everything that this world might have to offer, thinking, I'll get blessed there. And it's mud. It's putrid. It disappoints. Our God is the source of living water. And as we sit at the table tonight, my brother, my sister in Christ, I'd like you to just sort of settle that in your mind tonight. Is God your source of blessing? As a Christian, are you looking for blessings in other things? Stop. Find that blessing in the Lord. Let's pick apart this blessing a little bit. Look what we're told. Verse 24, the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. This is the Hebrew word barak. Baraka, and it's a verbal transference of prosperity. It's a verbal transference of God, of good things. In this context, it means, listen carefully, to transfer prosperity primarily in the realm of the financial, the physical, the material. The blessing here is, may the Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah, maker of all things, bless you financially. Bless you physically. Bless you materialistically. May the Lord pay your bills. May the Lord take care of your family. May the Lord give you health. May the Lord give you good relationships. That's the idea. You know, if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian here tonight, then you're a child of God, and that makes God your father. I want you to think about that. God is your father. And he's a really good father. And he's a great provider. And he knows what we need. And he will provide what we need. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Think about that, Dad. What wouldn't you give for your kid? Grandparent, you spoil your grandkids like crazy, don't you? Parents love to give and provide for kids, and we're evil. God is good. He's your Father. And he wants to provide for you. He wants to take care of you. And the Bible is clear. God can take care of us in miraculous ways, can't he? The manna in the desert for 40 years. The water that came out of the rock. In the New Testament, Jesus fed a multitude with a few loaves and fish, didn't he? Do you remember that time when they had to pay taxes and Jesus told his disciples to go fishing? They caught a fish and there was enough tax. That's pretty cool, isn't it? God takes care of his people and he can do so miraculously. However, that doesn't mean we're to be lazy. That doesn't mean we're just lazy waiting to go catch fish and find money in fish. God oftentimes provides for us by providing a job for us, whereby we go work and are able to provide for our families. But if he's your God, he wants to bless you in that way. Now see, here are all these people, and they try to find blessing in the things, in the money, in the provision. Whereas we're called to find blessing in the one who gives that. Do you see that? The Lord bless you. The Lord provide for you.
Look what it says also in verse 24. The Lord bless you and what?
May the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Yahweh, keep you. Keep you. Hebrew word is samar. It's a word that means to exercise great, attentive care over your life. It's a word that means to guard, to watch over, to observe. This is the word that's used in the scripture that speaks of the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers were at the gate of the city, and they stood guard there. They're looking out for enemies. It's the same word that's used to speak of the guards on the watchtower. At the top of the walls around the city, there were guards, and they were always looking out for the approach of enemies. They would have guards stationed in towers that would protect vineyards, gardens. This is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 3. You remember when God stationed angels at the Garden of Eden to guard the tree of life. That's what this means, to guard. May God guard you, protect you, be your covering, your shield. Now, human guards will fail you. Human guards will fall asleep. Human guards will get distracted. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I worked as a security guard every Friday and Saturday night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. And my job was to kind of be a presence in the lobby of a high-rise downtown Dallas. I'm the only guy in this high-rise all night. All right, I'm just supposed to be a presence, and I already had it all thought out. Anybody comes in, I'm hiding. I'm calling the police. I ain't taking any bullets for $6.50 an hour, right? God isn't like that. Listen, if you belong to the Lord, his eye is upon you 24/7. 365 days a year. He never falls asleep. He's your shield. and God will protect you. The Lord's protection upon us is, you know, keeping us from making silly decisions that can lead to destructive things. And so God puts his Spirit in us and gives us his word to show us the direction to take in life. God protects us from Satan. God protects us from demonic oppression. Our God protects us from our enemies. Maybe the people in your life that are plotting and planning behind closed doors to do you harm. God sees that. God's got your back. God is your shield. He keeps you. Man, what a blessing. You might say, well, what about when Christians die? Christians die. Did God drop the ball there? No, there's no such thing as an accidental death. When a Christian dies, that's because God has called him home. You say, well, what about Christians when they go through tough times, hard circumstances, trials, and tribulations? Is God protecting them? Yeah, he is. He's actually preserving his people through the difficult times so that they come out on the other end stronger and more effective. He's your guard. He blesses us. He keeps us. Verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you. What does that mean? One interpretation is it means that God's light is upon his people to give them favor. And that certainly is the case, but that's repeated later on in the blessing. Another interpretation is that this is God's delight upon his people. That when he looks upon our lives, his face is beaming with light. He delights in you. That's absolutely true, but that gets repeated further down in the blessing. Another beautiful interpretation, and I love this. Literally, may the Lord give to you more light to his face. In other words, may the Lord continually reveal more of his face to you. In other words, may the Lord reveal himself more and more to you. I love that. You know what the greatest blessing is? Knowing God. Having a personal relationship with God. Being in a relationship where you know God. And the greatest blessing is being able to grow in that relationship so that you can know him more and more every day, fall in love with him more and more every day. Do you know that you were created to know God? To enjoy God? To laugh in his presence just like those kids outside? And you know that God has given us the tools by which we can know him better every day, his word, his Spirit in our lives. When we pray, we commune with him. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I think is very appropriate here. He says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Did you know that God has revealed himself most fully in the face of whom? Jesus. And if you want to get to know God more and more, look to Jesus. Read his words. Read his life. Friend, you know God. You're in a relationship with him. Keep going. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be what? Be gracious to you. Hanan is the Hebrew word. It means favor. The idea is may the great favor of the Lord be upon you. and take it individually, very personally. May God single you out and put his great favor upon you, on your life, on all that you do. The grace of God. Our God is gracious. Our God blesses us with blessings even though we don't deserve it. We are children of grace. Christian, understand that. Don't ever forget it. If you're a Christian here tonight, never question God's love for you. Never think that you've got to be in a place where you're earning favor from God. You got it. May he be gracious unto you. Look at verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now, what does that mean? The Lord lift up his countenance. Literally, may the Lord have an upward countenance on his face towards you. Okay, what's a downward countenance on the face? I don't even know if a frown. What's an upward countenance on a face? A smile. And that is the idea here in the Hebrew. May the Lord God of heaven and earth smile upon you and your life. May God take pleasure in you. May the Lord delight in you. Just like parents delight in a child. Just like parents are proud of a child. Last night, I was at the hospital, and Ruth and Andreas, you know, they lead worship here, and their son, Dante, was born last night. And boy, you want to see a permagrin? You look at Andreas with his son, and he's just beaming. He just smiles over that little boy. That is God with you. He loves you. His smile is upon you. He delights in you. He takes pleasure in you. He looks at your life and he sees you fulfilling his plan. And he smiles. In that movie, Chariots of Fire, Eric Little justifies the importance of his running in the Olympics by saying, God has made me for a purpose. He made me for China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. I feel his pleasure. That's God. You know, there are so many people that when they think of God, they think of this angry face. This God who's looking down and displeased with people. Mad. Perish the thought. God delights over you. God smiles over you. And by the way, as a Christian, shouldn't that make us want to live a life that pleases him? When you think of God and all he's done for you and what he wants to accomplish in your life, shouldn't we be willing to go out there and live in such a life that puts a smile on God's face? Well, certainly. Look at that last phrase, verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom. This is supernatural peace. This is a peace deep down on the inside that is completely independent of outward chaotic circumstances. It is supernatural to the core. In fact, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. It's a peace that this world can't even understand. But that's the peace that I live with you. If the Lord is your God, if you are his child, he wants to give you that supernatural peace and life. also this would include that he wants you to have peaceful relationships with other people, a peaceful existence in your culture, a peaceful existence in your country. This is what God wants to give you. I mean, what a list, amen? May the Lord bless you financially, physically, materialistically. May the Lord guard you and keep you. May the Lord reveal more and more of himself to you every day. May the Lord's great favor be upon you. May the Lord smile upon your life. And may you enjoy and know and experience supernatural peace.
Look at the promise in verse 27. If this blessing is proclaimed upon the people of God, verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Really, you could sum up all the blessing in having the name of God put upon you. When this blessing was pronounced, God's name was put upon his people. If you are a Christian, God's name has been put upon you. You're his property. You belong to him. And because you belong to him, you enter into everything that his name means, everything that he is, everything that he has. We hear prominent names and we think of these prominent families like a Kennedy or a Rockefeller or a Trump. Are you listening? And we think, wow, if we had that name, man, if you're part of that family, a Rockefeller. You have God's name. Jehovah's name is upon you. Yahweh, the name of Christ. We think of high quality brands like the Mercedes or the Cadillac, the Volvo, the BMW. You hear that name and you think of quality, value. Man, we've been branded by Yahweh. We belong to him. Can there be any higher quality in this life or the life to come? Now, this blessing here, completely undeserved. Completely undeserved. God initiates it. God doesn't say, you need to go through these religious hoops and then you get this blessing. God doesn't say, you know, you really need to twist my arm a bit and then you get this blessing. No, this is God's free blessing upon the people that he loves. This is our God. He is the God of blessing. You know why he blesses? Because he does. That's who he is. You know, in the ancient times, you can read all the stories that the ancient gods, the people would try to trick the gods into blessing them. There's stories of them trying to, you know, literally twist the arm of gods in order to get them to bless. No such thing with the living God. He's the source of blessing. He loves to bless. He wants to bless. The God of grace, the God of love.
Okay, some of you might be having this question in your mind, though. You might be thinking, well, what about the passages in Scripture that speak about the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the justice of God, the idea that God punishes sin and sinners? That is absolutely true. And that whole idea comes out of the attribute that we studied a couple weeks ago, the holiness of God. This God is holy. He is absolutely perfect. There is no sin in him. From his holiness perspective, no sin can be tolerated, period. Sin must be punished. Sin must be judged. And here's the deal. We blew it. God created us and put us in a perfect garden. He created us with free will. And by our own free will, we chose to rebel. We sinned against God. We created the mess. It's our mess. We live in a fallen world now because of sin. Not God's fault. Your fault. My fault. Everyone's fault. We dug a pit for ourselves. But God wants to dig us out. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin deserves to be punished. Our sin deserves condemnation. But God doesn't want that for us. And so he has made a provision in order to rescue us from the mess we created. He sent his son Jesus to make it possible for all of our sins to be washed away, that we can be made right with God, that we can come into the family of God and into all this blessing. God paid that price. We're sitting here at the communion table, and before we participate these elements, I want to do just a couple of things. I want you to think of this blessing in a different way. Who's our high priest today? Is our high priest a human priest somewhere? No, our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read this blessing as if Jesus. We're right here proclaiming this blessing. Jesus would say to you tonight, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what Jesus has for you tonight. He's the high priest. That's the blessing he proclaims over your life. Consider all that's available to you tonight in Jesus Christ. And then also, let's consider the sacrifice that was made so that we could enter into this blessing. I want you to think about something. When Jesus went to the cross, and when he took our sins upon him, he literally experienced the inverse of this blessing. This blessing says, the Lord bless you, keep you physically, materialistically. Jesus was brutally executed. Jesus died with nothing. This blessing says, the Lord keep you and guard you. Jesus was not guarded on the cross. Jesus was delivered into the sinful hands of men. Jesus on the cross did not experience the favor of God. He experienced the judgment of God. Jesus on the cross did not experience the smile of the Father. In fact, we know when Jesus was on the cross and when he became sin for us, God the Father turned his back. You remember Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus didn't experience peace. He experienced war, judgment, cruelty. Jesus literally experienced the inverse of this blessing, so you and I could enjoy the blessing as it's written. Think of that. Think of that. So not only, folks, do we have this God who wants to give us blessing, we also have this God who was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have this blessing. Dwell on that. Christ took it all so that you could be his son, his daughter, a citizen of his kingdom, entering in to all of this blessing. When we hand out these elements in just a few moments, if you're a Christian here tonight, take those elements in your hand. Remember the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ that was spilled so that you could be forgiven and so that you could enter into his family and worship him for it. Thank him for it. And as we sit at this table, it's important that as we consider all that God has done for us and what he wants to do in and through us, that I believe it's a time where all of us as Christians should rededicate our lives to him. Maybe you're a Christian and you've sort of walked away. It's all become old hat. No big deal. Let it become a really big deal again in your life. Return to him with your whole heart. How could we not? Look what he's done. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, I'm going to invite you to do so. It's an offer that's too good to refuse. Who would refuse it? We don't deserve it. We're sinful. We created the mess. God sent his son to clean up the mess so that our lives could be forgiven, so that we could come into his family, so that we could enter into all this blessing. Have you received him yet? Have you asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior? I'm going to want you to do that before you partake. Let's dim the lights. Let's bow our heads. Those guys that are going to help me distribute, why don't you come forward? I know we're all gathered here corporately, we're gathered as a group, but I'd like to challenge you individually, right now, right there. Bible says that we're to do this to remember him. So right now, remember him. Remember Christ. Remember what he did for you. Remember what he's purchased for you. In this quiet time, as we're going to sing and pass out these elements, and by the way, keep them, we'll all partake together. We'll all take together. But in this time, you personally go to the Lord and thank him, praise him, worship him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell God how much you appreciate him. If you've slipped away, tell him how sorry you are and how you want to come back. Tell him tonight how you want to get to know him better and better, more and more every day. Ask him tonight to make his word fresh again in your life as you read it and you learn more of him. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you've even thought, well, I've been way too bad. How could God save me? God can save anyone. There's no pit that's too deep that he can't reach down and grab that life, take that life out of that pit. In fact, the only sin that will not be forgiven is the sin of rejecting Jesus as your Savior. Because in receiving Christ and Christ alone, that's how all of your sins are forgiven. So I want to invite you, if you've never done that, receive him right now. Say this in your heart. Cry out to him. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. I want your blessing. I want to be a child in your family, a citizen in your kingdom. I admit freely tonight that I have sinned against you, and I need all my sins to be washed away. And I thank you for the payment you paid on the cross for me. I receive you right now into my heart, into my life. Fill me with your spirit. Make me born again. Make everything brand new. Fill me with your spirit. Okay, let's worship the Lord. Let's reverence the Lord. Let's thank the Lord as we distribute these elements now. Bless your name tonight. Lord, we are again astounded at the sacrifice that you were willing to make for us freely. I'm convinced, Lord, that it will take all of eternity. And we'll never fully understand the sacrifice that was paid, the cost. But we will worship you for all of eternity. Lord, we are so blessed to know you. We give thanks.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Jesus is alive, you know, and he's coming soon for us. And until he comes, we're going to live for him. We're going to champion him. We're going to tell the world about how awesome and good he is. If you're here tonight, I like to do this at our communion services. If you're here tonight and you have a physical health issue, you have a sickness, you have some physical problem in your life, I believe that the Lord is here to heal, to bless. So if you would like to be prayed for, I'd like you to stand up right where you're at. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, and we're here together as a body, and I believe that prayer in numbers is great. So if you're comfortable, why don't you find someone that's standing up close to you, and just stand up and go lay your hands on that person. And just for a couple minutes here, if you're comfortable, I'd like you to pray out loud for healing. Just in each of your groups there, just a few of you pray for that person who's standing up. Take a couple minutes to do that. I want to thank you for those who have stood up. They stand up crying out to you tonight. And you are a God of miracles. And you are a God of grace and blessing. I pray that you would hear the cries. I pray that you would stretch forth your hand from heaven and touch these bodies and heal them. Give them strength. Make them whole. And Father, I pray that you would do so to bring glory to yourself, and that others may come to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.